Hey, fellow travelers, you may have been hearing something about RV sales going crazy these days. You know, the economy's taking a big hit. Everybody says that interest rates are at all-time lows. Well, here's a reality check for you. That may be true for home mortgages, but that is not true for RV financing rates.
With some of our lending partners, we've seen rates actually go up as much as a half a point or more in the past 30 to 45 days.
Welcome, fellow travelers. It's time for another episode of the RV Podcast.
Answering your questions, sharing tips, suggesting great trips and off-the-beaten-path adventures, and always staying on top of the RV lifestyle news you need to know about with great interviews and inside industry information.
Here's your hosts, award-winning journalists Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
Hey everybody, this week we're going to talk to an expert on RV financing here in episode 295 of the RV Podcast. We're going to talk about what's involved in getting a new RV loan, how existing RV loans can be refinanced to save big money, and what the real situation is out there, what you can expect when it comes time to buy an RV with RV financing. Plus, we got lots of RV news for you this week. As the country starts to open up, people are thinking about traveling. We've got tips. We've got a lot of questions from different listeners out there. And we have a fun off-the-beaten-path report, as we do every week, from our pals, the Burkitts. All coming to you now in episode 295 of the RV Podcast. Right now, time for my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, this is week 10 that we have been pretty much sheltered in place on beautiful Okaloosa Island, Florida, right?
It's been a great 10 weeks. I'm very happy today.
Yeah, lots of news this week about the different parts of the country starting to open up, many states well into their phased reopenings. Non-essential travel is now being allowed again in most places, state and national parks and campgrounds being opened. One piece of bad news that came through today, though, and that has to do with RV travel to and from the U.S. and Canada, the border remains closed. Officials announced yesterday, this episode being released on the 20th of May in 2020, and officials announced yesterday that the border is going to be stay shut for all non-essential travel at least until June 21st. Now, that's a long time. They shut it down way back in March. And I know there's a lot of RVers on both sides of the border, naturally very disappointed. They had summer travel plans. Many of them wanted to leave right after school got out. And of course, school's out for everybody.
I bet the truck drivers are happy.
Yeah, the truck drivers are probably, yeah.
Yeah, because the truckers are always lined up forever crossing over.
But no Canadians into the U.S. or U.S. into the U.S. citizens into the Canada for RV travel that's considered non-essential, at least until June 21st. We remain down here along the panhandle area of Florida, the area known as the Emerald Coast because of the blue-green color of the water. And I think things are pretty much back to normal here, don't you think? As close as you can get?
I think they are very normal. And it's normal for me because after 2 months, I exercised this morning. I went to the gym. I was a nervous wreck. I wore my mask when I thought appropriate and when other times I didn't. But I'm very happy.
Is it hard to exercise with a mask on?
Yes.
I could think so.
Breathing is essential, and especially, you know, you have allergies.
Is that non-essential breathing? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So the gyms and the health clubs in Florida opened Monday. Of this week. Jen was there today.
I was there today, Tuesday. I gave him a day to work out the bugs.
And let's hope the bugs aren't there. You don't want any stinking bugs.
Right.
No, no. But the restaurants this week, they opened last week here in Florida. Now, at first at 25% capacity, now they're up to 50%.
And I would think they'd need 50 so that they could make a profit.
You know, I read a couple of them, and we've been eating takeout from them. And
once in a while.
And
but it doesn't taste as good when you do a takeout. It gets cold and soggy before you get it home.
Yeah. But I asked some folks yesterday, I said, well, you know, how has that hurt you? And they said, well, you know, very seldom are we at 100% capacity? 50% they figure they can make it. 25% they said was a little tight, but
a little too lean.
Yeah, 50%, and if they go to 75%, they'll feel it's all roaring back. But they said only on really, you know, maybe a Saturday night, they would get that high. But so that's good. RV parks down here are open. The hotels are open, and boy, are they filled!
Oh, the hotels are jam packed.
And as of today, this is Tuesday that we're recording this on the 19th. Short-term rentals of condos for vacationers opened up again, at least in this part of Florida.
Yeah, they're going to be jamming in for the holiday weekend.
Yeah, this is the Memorial. Can you believe that? This is the traditional start of the summer season. We would normally be saying that schools across the country, in the southern part of the country, have let off for the summer. Of course, they've all been let off. Speaking of weird stuff, though, with this thing, we attended our grandson Matthew's graduation from high school over the weekend, and it was online.
Yeah, that, you know, we would have loved to have been there, but we're happy that it was available online. We're very grateful for that.
It was really strange. They had he had 48 in his class, so it wasn't a huge high school that he went to. It was and they had the seats, you know, 6 feet apart in different rows, and they came up. They would allow only the people in your immediate household who lived under the same roof as you to mm-hmm. attend in person.
So, and people under 8 and people over 65 could not come.
So a lot of grandparents were not allowed to go, and a lot of, you know, brothers and sisters and others. But they did show it online, and that was nice, but just strange to get used to all this stuff. And let's just hope we don't have to really get used to it.
What I'm really curious about is the teacher who was the speaker didn't go.
Yeah, she was afraid to go.
So she did that
apparently,
online.
Yeah.
I got to ask my grandson about this teacher.
Well, they didn't show her or the
yeah,
teacher
you could,
talk.
You could go
she was
on,
supposed to do an inspiring talk.
Yeah. And see what the teacher had to say. But I'm sure they're all happy because they were outside and it was hot.
Yeah.
And I just think that if you were really passionate about these kids, you're outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. You would have come.
Well, anyway, congratulations to Matthew. And many of you know that we spent a lot of time over the years taping Matthew's football games, and especially the last year, his senior year. And fortunately got that all in before the COVID thing started.
Yeah, good but thing he wasn't playing baseball, huh?
I would do video for all of his games, made him a movie for it. And we were really looking forward to meet Matthew, watching his graduation. But these things happen, I guess.
Grateful we did get to watch it online because not all kids had a ceremony.
And speaking of online, right after COVID started, when everything shut down, we began, we added another live event to our YouTube channel. We've been doing our Ask Us Anything on Sunday nights now for several years, and that's just a lot of fun. Thousands of people watch it and interact with us, and we really enjoy it. But during this thing, because nobody was traveling, we started a virtual camp fire and a happy hour every Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. And we've been doing that for 10, 12 weeks now. And we did not do it last week. We just thought we'd take a week off. And everybody was, I was getting all, we did announce it a couple of places, but, you know, people don't see that. So, yes, we will be back this week by popular demand, and we'll do some more of them, and we'll kind of take it week by week once we all start traveling. A lot of people said, don't stop it. And even when you're on the road, go around a real campfire for everybody and do it live there. So maybe we'll try that. So that will be Friday night on our RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube. And if you are just a podcast listener and are unfamiliar with all the other things we do a YouTube channel, the RV Lifestyle. Just go to YouTube and search for that. You'll find us. And our blog, rvlifestyle.com.
See, that gets me all inspired that if we're out camping, whoever's in the area can come and
in person.
We'll have a potluck
yeah.
for the campfire.
We could do that. We could do that.
Got to get this COVID-19 little reined in.
We need like a social director for our fellow travelers out there so we can figure. That's a really good idea when we're out someplace, Friday night virtual campfire. And if you're in the area, come to we'll have a real campfire.
I'll have to get little speakers if we're all 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
Talk to each other.
Hello over there. Yeah. So anyway, we plan to stay down here in Florida for a few more weeks anyway. We're still trying now to resuscitate our travel plans for the year and are unsure exactly when and where we'll be headed next. We hope to get some things firmed up a little bit over the next week or so, and we'll let you know. So we will be continuing the Friday night virtual campfire and happy hour, 7 p.m. Friday nights on the YouTube channel, and then don't forget our Sunday night Ask Us Anything. We'll also have a new video out of one of just before this all shut down, we were in the middle of shooting a bunch of videos about RV lifestyle travel in Florida, and we've got a couple more that we've got to edit and put together, and we'll have one of them coming out pretty soon. So beautiful weather down here in Florida, and it looks like it's going to be nice around much of the country over the next few days. So that's good, right?
Very good.
All right, let's get on to the RV lifestyle news.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
And interesting story out of Forbes last week with Campgrounds of America. The network of privately owned campgrounds in the United States and Canada reports that bookings started to outpace cancellations in mid-April. So much that today, reservations for July and August are only 15% below last year's numbers. KOA conducted its own research and found 4 in 10 campers are still planning to take their planned trips this summer. And leisure travelers who camp and had plans canceled are planning to replace original plans with a camping trip.
So hopefully that's a sign that although we had a couple of months off, that we'll quickly get back to some sense of normalcy. Rangers, however, say they've got a little predicament on their hands. They're preparing to open parts of our national parks, the Rangers, and they're starting to voice concern about the safety of wildlife when people get back to the parks. Because what happened during the closure with nobody there, the animals throughout the national park system have kind of relaxed as people have vanished. So the animals have been venturing into places where they normally don't go. Some examples, Joshua Tree National Park. Ranger discovered an endangered tortoise sunning himself in the middle of what's normally the park's busiest road. At Yellowstone, elk, which can get quite testy after their babies are born, are able now not to have to worry about people getting too close, and they're roaming everywhere. At Yosemite, bear have been spotted in meadows near the California's Yosemite Valley Visitor Center, not to mention the many parks that are spotting things like coyotes and other animals in their parking lots. So if you do take advantage, many of the national parks opening for day use, be careful as you drive in. Wildlife are used to you not being there, and they may not be keeping their proper social distance.
This Friday is Memorial Day weekend, what many consider the official kickoff for summer. But for the first time in 20 years, AAA will not be issuing a travel report. Why? Too many states still have travel restrictions because of COVID-19, making it difficult to get an accurate estimate. But the amount of travelers is expected to be low. Last year, 43 million Americans traveled for Memorial Day weekend, the second highest amount since AAA began tracking holiday travel volumes in 2000. What a difference a year makes.
Mentioned Yellowstone a minute ago. They have opened this week their Wyoming entrance to for day use. Colorado State Park campgrounds now open, operating at 50% capacity. West Virginia State Park campgrounds open to state residents only. And Thursday, May 21st, camping will open again in Virginia state parks. Now, every state seems to be different, and many of them have restrictions. As always, if you're out or thinking of heading out, be sure and check first. We'll put a link in the show notes for this episode for the site that we think has done the best job of keeping track of what's open and what's not in terms of RV parks and campgrounds. And that's from our friends at Campendium. They have been doing daily updates, so you can access that through their website. We'll put a link to it. Just go to our show notes, rvlifestyle.com/295, and just scroll down. There's a lot of copy there. It's kind of the show notes are a big, long article on the blog. So scroll down to the news of the week, and you'll find that link for Campendium.
If you decide to head for a walk anytime this week, be sure to stay alert for snakes.
Yeah.
From Nevada and Arizona, where an experienced hiker was bit last week, to New York's Hudson Valley, stories have filled the news last week of rattlesnake sightings and tips on how to be safe. A few years back, we spoke to a snake expert who shared tips and general know-how that is good to review. We'll put a link to that interview in the show notes at rvlifestyle.com/295. That's rvlifestyle.com/295.
This part of the podcast is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, America's number one e-bike brand, offering direct to consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes, and now with free shipping and a special discount to listeners of the RV podcast. Rad Power Bikes, built for everything and priced for everyone. Lots of different models, from fold-up models to beach cruiser type models. That's what Jennifer and I have. The step-through models, that's the type of beach cruiser Jen has. There's no center bar that you have to swing your leg over. You just step on through. They have mountain bike-style Rad Power bikes. They've got folding Rad Power bikes. They got fat tire versions, every kind you could want. They all go 20 miles an hour with zero pedaling. But the fun thing is you pedal. You can get lots of exercise on your Rad Power bikes, and you can use that five different levels, in fact, of power assist to give you a little help going up hills or whatever you want. They can all go 20 to 40 miles on a single charge. And Rad Power Bikes priced half the cost of comparable bikes in the market because the dealer retail markup chain is cut out. Now, if you mention RV Lifestyle, that's the key coupon code, RV Lifestyle, at checkout, they'll take an additional $75 off. Plus, you get free shipping on all of their bike models. Again, that coupon code to use is RV Lifestyle. And they'll give you that $75 off. Go visit them. Check out their bikes. They're perfect for RVers. Check them out at radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
All right, this comes to us from Virginia. She says, I've watched a few of your videos. Did you ever find the right carrier for your van? I know you had a Stowaway 2. And then you also had one called the Nikova, but I wanted one for bikes. And you said you weren't very sold on either one of those. Any others have come up on the market that you've tried? Question mark. We have a Class B van, and we have two teens, two dogs. We want to bring along a tent and four duffel bags, four camping chairs. If we could take the bikes or a kayak, we'd love to do that too. And that's from Virginia. Well, we have not been very happy with either of the storage things that we had.
So, how do we do it?
We don't. You know, I've seen a carrier, a surfboard carrier on Class B vans that people use to carry kayaks. They carry them in a vertical position on the back of the kayak, or the back of the RV. And it costs quite a bit of money. I don't know, over $1,000, as do the Stowaways and the Nikovas. Those are very expensive to get the big ones. Now, I know a lot of people like them, but our feeling was we might as well get a bigger RV if we've got to carry all that stuff, right?
Right.
That was your thoughts, you know? And, you know, I'd love to carry it. I think on a kayak, I had a kayak at one point.
A
fishing kayak. I loved it. I miss it. Especially since we've been down here in Florida all these weeks. But there was no place to carry it in the RV. I could get it in. I could actually open the rear doors of the Class B
and
we had.
The sofa in the
back. Yeah, wreck the sofa in the bed. And it gets kind of yucky with seaweed and that mm-hmm. smell. So that was never a good idea.
No.
And we ended up selling it because I had no place really to carry it. And it was just awkward. Since then, I've seen and I've thought about getting an inflatable kayak. And I've looked around at a couple of models, and that's a possibility for a kayak that you may want to consider, Virginia. But in terms of, you know, traveling with two teens, two dogs in a Class B, and you want to bring all that stuff, I think you're going to find that unless you want to look like the Beverly Hillbillies, that little car that they show in the old Beverly Hillbillies movies, the real ones, you're not going to find an easy way to carry it. A roof rack up on the top, you could carry some stuff, but that kind of precludes the use of solar. It'll mess up your solar. So you've got some hard decisions. But specifically to those those big rear carriers, we did not like those. For one thing, they were heavy.
Yeah, and it makes it extra long. I said to Mike, if we're going to be that long, we might as well get a Class A.
Instead, we got a Class C. But I still can't carry all that stuff.
So you've got enough seat belts for everybody, two teens and...
Now the
I don't know how many people you have.
Yeah. Do you have enough seatbelts? That's the other thing.
Because you could, whatever you want, wrap a sheet or a blanket around or a canvas
and carry
stick
it inside. Yeah, and then you just take it out at the night. But that's you know, so you take chairs.
You got teens, put them to work.
Yeah, make them work.
And I don't know how expensive of a kayak you have. The world's most expensive, or something modestly priced that's
but
not that big or heavy.
They're very hard to carry on a Class B. They really are. Not that you can't do it, and you could
you
put a roof rack on
if you want to.
Yep, but I don't think we would go back with one of those rear carriers.
No.
They do carry a lot of stuff, but
we've had two.
Yeah, they're very heavy. They're really heavy, and just. We've not been happy with them, so we think they're overpriced and not very good. All right, another question, a short one, but I'm a newbie. Forgive the ignorance of the question, but I got to ask, when you tow a car behind your motorhome, does it put miles on the car too? That is really a very good question. The answer, though, is, and we're assuming you mean flat towed with all four wheels down, it does not. Put mileage on the car because you're in neutral and usually the transmission is disabled. I take it back. If your car is older than, say, a 91 and it had one of those old style cable driven speedometers, that would put on mileage. But nobody's really used those since I think 91, 92. So no, it won't put mileage on your car odometer. However, it will do wear and tear on your tires and even your brakes a little bit. So I think you got to take that in mind.
I think that was an excellent question.
I do too. I think it's a very good question. A lot of people say too that they prefer towing a car on a dolly, so you don't quite get all of that use,
wear and tear
on your car. Other people have a car carrier if they have a big enough tow vehicle, you know, like a trailer that the car is protected in. But I think most
you can put your kayak and your bikes and everything in there with the car.
Yeah, you might as well.
If you're going to tow.
Yeah, you might as well.
Put a couple tent in there for the teenagers.
I mean, we have seen people in Class A's towing a big trailer with a car in it and a boat. And it's just ridiculous. Well, I guess it's not ridiculous. If you want to do it, it's fine.
People give you space. They see it coming because usually it's grandma and grandpa driving those things.
Yeah. Oh, no. You don't want to be behind those guys. But you can take anything you want. And but in towing a car, you're fine like that. Just there's lots of information on it. And if that's what you need to do, you're able to do it and you have to worry about the odometer. All right. Hey, do you have a question? We would love to hear your voice and feature you asking your question or passing along a comment right here on the podcast.
Hey, fellow travelers. Want to have your voice featured on the RV podcast?
Send us your questions or comments. Send an audio file to mike@rvlifestyle.com. Or better yet, use our RV podcast voicemail number, 586-372-6990. 586-372-6990.
We want to hear from you. Call 586-372-6990.
This part of the RV podcast is brought to you by our friends at Battle Born Batteries, makers of quality, safe, and reliable lithium batteries that can be installed in just about every RV. You want lithium batteries. I mean, if you are out there camping today, you know, if you've done any research, that lithium batteries are pretty much the gold standard now for RV use. They've replaced as the battery of choice AGMs, which are the most common. Why lithium? I mean, just do a little bit of research and you'll find that they let you have longer sustained adventures off the grid, boondocking. The lithium batteries offer better performance. They charge faster. They charge fuller. They're longer lasting. They're maintenance free. They weigh about half as much as the AGM batteries. And why Battleborn? Because they're made in the USA. These guys are experts and familiar with all the existing components and just about any kind of RV you can find on the road. They can offer different sized RVs that will pretty much drop into any size travel trailer or motorized RV you have. They're all protected by a 10-year guarantee. Just go check them out. We have two of them in ours, and working in conjunction with the solar panels on the roof and a great inverter, a 2,000-watt inverter, and a great solar controller that Battleborn recommended for us. We have been so happy with it, particularly because we like to do a lot of off-the-grid boondocking. You check them out yourself. Just go to rvlifestyle.com/lithium, rvlifestyle.com/lithium.
Time now for the RV Podcast Interview of the Week. Interesting, entertaining, and helpful information about the RV lifestyle. Here's Mike with this week's interview.
All right, we're going to talk about RV financing in this part of the podcast. And why now? Well, for one reason, if you've done any research at all or even just come across the news in general consumption, you have read this rash of stories that the media has been putting out about how everybody's going to RVs for their summer travel, that they don't trust hotels, they don't want to go on a cruise, they don't want to go to Europe because of, you know, the virus. They want to stay somewhat safe to home, but they want to go out and have a good time. And an RV is doing well, and that's, you know, meets all those criteria. And so RV sales have been going through the roof. And with that comes a need to pay for them because RVs are pretty expensive. So what do you need to know about RV financing? We have a good friend of ours who we've run into now over the years. I think we had him on the podcast a couple, 3 years ago and got a great response for the way he just sort of explains it so easily for us. What you need to know about RV financing and particularly the interest rates. As I said at the very top of the program, that people think that you know, they've heard all this about the economy, you know, doing so poorly, and thus the Fed has reduced interest rates. Well, that's for home mortgages. It's not for RVs. And he's going to help shed some very interesting light about that for you. Also, if you are already paying for an RV, just as you do with your home mortgage, you may be well put to do some refinancing, to refinance that RV. You can actually pay it off quicker and save money. So with all that aside, I think you are you're going to find our guest of the week, Jeff McLeod, a really wealth of information. And we'll put links to his website and a little tool they have that'll let you figure out how much you'd save refinancing or how much you need to pay when you do buy an RV. Let's just get him on the program. Well, to help us figure out the ins and outs of buying an RV and financing it is our friend Jeff McLeod from New Coast Financial. Jeff, thank you for joining us. So here's the deal. All you have to do is look at the news these days. Everybody is hyping RV sales as the way for people to have a vacation and not have to worry about COVID and all the stuff about cleanliness, because your RV is pretty clean and you can easily social distance in it. The question is, what's involved? What do people need to know about financing an RV? Many of them are used to buying a car and financing a car, but explain, first of all, the big differences when you buy an RV, besides it costs more money.
Well, an RV is a recreation, a luxury item, and that's what lenders look at it as. A marine product, a boat, an RV is going to be looked at as a not a need item, but a luxury item. And so when it comes to financing an auto, the criteria is, or the bar, if you will, is a little bit lower than what they look for an RV application. The thought is a car loan is going to be generally a shorter term, and it's something that people need and rely on to get back and forth to work every day and to shuttle their kids back and forth to school. So when you're looking at an RV, generally credit scores are in the 700 and above credit range. Depending on your credit score, the higher the score, the lower the rates. And also, they look at different things like income and net worth and things that will kind of play into your financial well-being. Now, those items do not really come into effect as far as your overall financial picture until you start getting up over $100,000, $150,000. With those type of loans on an RV, you would be asked to submit 2-year tax returns, a personal financial statement, and confirmation of liquidity. Generally, people with good credit scores and employment can expect not to have to deal with that unless they start approaching that $150,000 loan request. Interesting, though, with COVID going on, and there's a lot of people being laid off or furloughed, lenders are doing, which has not been done in a long time, they're doing a confirmation of employment. So at time of funding, be prepared that the lender will call the applicant work and make sure they are employed on the day that that loan is funded.
That's because, of course, so many people have lost their jobs. Unemployment rates are skyrocketing. So that makes sense. Now, one confusing thing that I have heard is, and I think a lot of consumers are in the same boat, is, well, the Fed has just dropped the interest rate almost to a negative interest rate. That means, you know, you would think the best prices, the best interest rates at all, but not for RVs, I'm told.
That's correct. And again, since we're in this new frontier of a COVID-19 virus, and with the furloughs and the layoffs, and as you just pointed out, the unemployment numbers somewhere around 15% now, lenders are preparing for a possible, let's say, a slowdown or some delinquencies in their portfolio, because realistically, if somebody loses their job or gets furloughed, the income could be cut. And you know, history has shown us that the RV payment may not be made or could be made late, and lenders have to kind of look at that in their whole risk analysis. And so pricing is adjusted. In fact, with some of our lending partners, we've seen rates actually go up as much as a half a point or more in the past 30 to 45 days. And again, they're managing risk because Fed funds rate gets cut, and that affects more your mortgage rates, because mortgage rates right now are at an all-time low. So people are confused by that, and there is not a direct correlation between the two. The house is more of a need item. It's not going anywhere, where the RV is something that, again, as I pointed out earlier, is more of a luxury item. And so you have to manage the risk with the environment you're in at this time.
So putting these two things together, it's a lot different than buying a car. It's a lot different than buying a house. That consumers who've never financed an RV before should not expect to go in like a car dealer and walk out that same day with the keys to an RV if you're financing it. Is that a bottom line assessment?
I would say that's a fair point, up to a certain dollar amount. If you're going to go in and buy, if you were to walk into a dealership and buy a $35,000 travel trailer, that can be done pretty quickly. That's not going to take a lot of, extra documentation. But as the loan dollars go up, then that's when you have to be more prepared. So I like to tell people, both in refinancing and purchasing, and those that we work with, people, private parties that are selling, one individual is selling to another individual, and there's a lack of lenders out there that can accommodate that. So we get a lot of that traffic. I like to tell them, you know, if it's going to be at $150,000 or more, then that's when we start asking for the 2-year complete tax returns, the personal financial statement, verification of income, and possibly award letters from pension. So just keep it as a rule of thumb. If you're going to be in that 150 or higher dollar amount for a request, then you're going to need more documentation. And most of the time, with good credit and current employment and so forth, you won't run into that much under that amount of 150.
Now let's ask, for those who already are financing an RV, we have seen a lot of people refinance home mortgages. That's become a pretty common way to every couple of years maybe shave a little bit off the payment. And I wonder if can you do the same thing with an RV loan for those who are already financing an RV? Can they refinance it and potentially save money that way?
Yes. We have seen a record amount of refinancing since the middle of March. And we're happy to do a free analysis. We'll find out what the customer has now. And always, it's not always about cutting rate, Mike. Sometimes it's about shaving term. So as an example, somebody bought an RV last year at 20 years. And let's say, hypothetically, they're at a 5.99 rate. We may be able to show them a way at a 4.5 rate to go to 15 years and cut off 4 years of what the loan amount is for. And so that's an option. But I'll give you an example, and most people can know what is involved in saving. So most of what we're seeing right now, if you're over 5.5%, then you should definitely be thinking about a refi. And an example would be at a 5.99 rate, at $100,000 over 20 years, if you were to keep that RV the entire term, you would save about $18,000, a little close to $19,000 in interest.
Wow.
Now, we know that most people are usually in an RV loan anywhere from 4 to 7 years. That's usually the average cycle or the turn, as they call it. So let's cut that back then to what is really a real savings for most people that might trade every 4 to 7 years. So again, if you're at a 5.99 on a $100,000 loan, and you were to go to a 4.6 interest rate on that same $100,000, it would save you close to $9,000 in interest over between now and the end of 2026. So that's kind of what a good way to put. Now, on a higher dollar amount, of course, the savings is going to be more because the interest rate is calculated on the loan balance, of course. So I just use $100,000 as a round number to illustrate if you were to save a point and a half on rate, what that would look like to somebody in the next 5.5, 6 years.
Now, we will put in the show notes in the description a link to you folks there at New Coast Financial, that people can actually figure this out themselves. There's obviously no obligation, right? They can run the calculations. They can see
what
they say, and talk to somebody. I think that's a pretty good savings, and I don't think a lot of people realize that just as you can renegotiate the terms of your home mortgage, you can do the same thing for your RV. What about buying used RVs? I think we've been talking primarily about new RVs, but you mentioned there's a little bit of a difference when you're buying it from an individual, or I would think a used RV. Talk about that a little bit for us, Jeff McLeod.
Yeah, sure. So there's a lot of activity out there online with people that are listing their RVs for sale on different platforms. And one of the tricks to that, Mike, is they'll find a purchaser, somebody that's interested. And then at that point, if I want to buy an RV from you and I go to my credit union and say, hey, I want to borrow $180,000 to buy this Class A diesel motorhome, they might look at me and say, what's a Class A diesel motorhome? Yeah. Or they might say, sure, we've got a loan for you. It's 5 years at 9%. Neither one is going to be an option. And so we work with a variety of brokers that will match up buyer and seller. We work with private parties that find the unit they want to buy off a particular website. And we handle that transition from seller to buyer and fund that transaction and make sure that even if they have a payoff, by the way, the seller has a payoff. We can help with make sure that the payoff is made and the new owner gets, either his new financing put in place and the payoff is made on the seller's loan. So you need some expertise when it comes to that. And also you want to work with people that specialize in this type of lending.
When you go to a dealer and the dealer says, we can take care of financing for you, what's your advice to the consumer? Obviously, you want them to get other rates, I would think.
Sure. So we work with a lot of dealers throughout the country, and we're not their main lender. We're not their go-to lender. We help with more complicated deals that the dealer might have come across their desk. To be, frank, a customer is, the dealer provides many, many great options for financing. So if a customer does decide to buy an RV from a dealer, I would encourage you to, speak to the finance professionals there. They have great programs and, they can handle it as a one-stop shop. Where we get involved with a dealer, as I said, is there could be cases where loan-to-value is outside of normal guidelines for most lenders. That could be an issue where a dealer would come to us. Or perhaps on a coach that's not listed in the NADA value guide. An example of that would be somebody buying a custom coach like a Prevo conversion, something like that. So that's really where we intersect with a dealer and have a partnership or help them out with deals like that.
Well, we are going to send them to New Coast Financial, and we'll put the link in, and people can actually go to it and plug in the numbers themselves. But I think this is, in conclusion, this is the kind of thing that folks should just check up on every year or so if you currently are financing, right? And if you're not,
I would say so.
And if you're buying for the first time, be aware that there are different companies, different banks out there, and you may still want to go to somebody like New Coast and run through this this free tool that you guys have that'll help them figure that out. Well, confusing
Absolutely.
Times, and a lot of people are coming into RVing, and I think this is a great resource for them. We'll, as I said, put links to everything there. And Jeff, we'll follow up with you. I think every year it's good to do one of these interviews so people can understand that don't just pay that year after year. Check it out. Make sure that you're getting the best value, and make sure you're getting the best value when you first sign up as well. Jeff McLeod has been our guest from New Coast Financial. And Jeff, thank you so much for making your time available to the RV podcast audience today.
Glad to talk to you again, and be safe, everybody.
The interview of the week is brought to you by our friends at SunshineStateRVs.com. They can help you with RV financing as well, where every new motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the continental United States. Hey, they have been selling them like crazy. During this COVID-19 shutdown, I checked in with our friend Nick Schmidt, and he says people are anxious to get an RV. He's bearing out this theory that we're hearing all over the country that RV sales are booming because people want a safe vehicle to vacation in, that they can be confident that is clean and that they're socially distant. Well, Sunshine State RVs can help you out. They have a huge selection of brand new small motorhomes, Class Bs, Class B pluses, Class Cs, and I would say for sure they have the largest inventory of previously owned RVs anywhere in North America. They have in stock previously owned RVs ranging from the early 90s right up to the current year from all the major brands. Their new inventory is phenomenal. They have the Winnebago Travato. That's the most popular Class B van in America today. They have the Winnebago Air. They have the Coachman Beyond, the Coachman Galleria. They have the American Patriot, the Fleetwood IROC, many others brand new in stock right now at Sunshine State RVs in Gainesville, Florida. You do not have to go there in person. You can call them up on the phone. Start off by going to their website, sunshinestatervs.com, and tell our friend Nick Schmidt that you heard about them on the RV podcast. Nick will help you out. He'll go give you a one-on-one video tour of your RV that you're interested in. You can arrange it all right there. He can help you with financing, as we've just talked about. great guy. Integrity and customer service. Their units are all tested, and they make sure everything works the way it should be. You can trust them. SunshineStateRVs.com. That's their website.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook.
Here's Mike.
All right, one of the states that is opening up is the state of Texas, the great Republic of Texas, as they often call it. And we want to take you to a really fun little place, a slick little place, by our Off the Beaten Path correspondents, Tom and Patty Burkett.
Hey, Jennifer and Mike. Shiner, Texas is probably best known for its largest export, Shiner beer. In the early 20th century, Czech immigrants began to arrive in this area of the Lone Star State in numbers. Mostly farmers, they had good success in the fertile river bottom soil and soon became the dominant ethnic group. Hankering for a taste of home and unable to find a suitable product on the frontier, they established the Shiner Brewing Association in 1909 to satisfy their needs. It wasn't too long before the farmers realized that, although they were good at growing the ingredients, they were pretty lousy at making the brew.
Enter Conrad Spetzel, a Bavarian brewmaster who had seen considerable success as founder of the Gambrinus Brewing Company and traveled as far afield as Egypt honing his craft. He found Shiner to his liking, bought out the farmers, changed the name of the company, and set about building a brand. The farmers were pleased, and Shiner beer enjoyed wide distribution through the area, now quite well settled with German and Czech families. Spetzel continued to run the brewery for more than 50 years. Today, they produce a dozen or more beers, all made right here in Shiner and distributed nationwide.
Shiner has a few other things to offer. If you're here at the right time of the month, you can take in a performance of the Shiner Hobo Band. Not surprisingly, accordion figures prominently in the arrangements, and all the band members are, shall we say, quite experienced. Most any day, you can get a good meal at Friday's Fried Chicken. The founder, Vic Patek, Patek means Friday in Czech, retired a few years ago, but the food is still just as tasty as it always was, at least according to the loyal regulars.
Not too far down the road from Shiner is the little town of Yoakum. Tom's family has roots here, so it was fun to poke around a bit, visiting old houses and the cemetery. The town runs a nice municipal campground, and we stayed for several days. When we arrived and put our money in the drop box on the shower house, the sign said to call a number if you wanted electric service, a $5 premium. We called, and the dispatcher who answered the phone promised to call back shortly. Sure enough, she reported in about 5 minutes that Joe, the electric man, was out to dinner with his family and would stop by to activate our pole on his way home. Joe arrived with family in tow, clearly on his way home from a birthday party.
We had breakfast at the H&H Cafe and Bakery, cement floors and four mica tables, with a fine plate of eggs and bacon and a variety of tasty baked goods, including some Czech specialties. On the edge of town, we spied the Circle Y Saddlery. Never wanting to pass up an opportunity, we stopped, and I went in to ask if we might have a tour. The front office was empty, so I wandered back farther in the building and came across a cowboy-looking gent sitting at a break room table. I asked my question and got this reply. "Well, I tell you, I'd be mighty pleased to let you out there on the floor to walk around because we're proud of the craftsmen who work here, and most of them are willing to let you get your nose right down in their business and talk your ear off while you do it. But one day a while back, an insurance fella came through here, and he saw that, and he liked to shat a cow. He said, 'Y'all can't do that anymore.' And so we don't, and I'm real sorry. I can get you a cup of coffee, though."
As Satchel Paige once said, "You win some, you lose some, and some get rained out. But you have to suit up for all of them." It's true in baseball, and we can assure you it's true out here, too, off the beaten path.
And that wraps up another episode of the RV Podcast with Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
New episodes are released every Wednesday, and the best way to stay connected is to subscribe to the RV Podcast.
We're in all the popular podcast apps, and you can also listen on the RVLifestyle.com travel blog.
Till next time, happy trails, fellow travelers. We'll be looking for you down the road.
All right, thank you, everybody, for tuning in to this episode of the RV Podcast. You can find the show notes on the RV Lifestyle blog, rvlifestyle.com. Have you been to our blog yet? My goodness, if you haven't, get over there. We have new content every day, detailed information, lots of resources and tips. I mean, the blog should be essential reading for you if you're interested in the RV lifestyle. Notes for this show, for this in the show notes, rvlifestyle.com/295. That's the direct URL. Hey, till next time, on behalf of my wife, Jennifer, and our dog, Bo, I'm Mike Wendland saying we'll see you out there and happy trails.